Mark song number 63. We'll sing that after we hear from Matt this morning. 63, you should mark in your books.
The scripture reading is in 2 Timothy chapter 2, starting in verse 11. Here's a trustworthy saying. If we died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we disown him, he will also disown us. If we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot disown himself.
Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you. I'm always happy to get to be together and worship together. I love hearing everyone sing in the morning. It's a simple thing, but it really means a lot to me. Because I look out at this crowd, and there's a lot of different faces of different kinds, different ages, and we've all come together to sing about the goodness that God has shown us. It's a common good, and hearing us all sing these words together is a really powerful and beautiful thing, and it really means a lot to me every week to get to hear everyone sing. It's a really good thing. It's a great way to start our morning, great way to start the week. Today, our lesson is titled, The Faithful and True Witness. And as we've been doing the past month or so, I don't know, maybe one of you is keeping track. I'm not. We've been starting our lessons with a piece of art. And so on the screen, we've got this pretty flashy, contemporary piece of art, The Rider on the White Horse. The colors are they're not very saturated, so I don't know if you can tell, but you've got the red cloak of, this is Jesus, right? His cloak is red, not with the blood of his enemies, but with his own blood, which is not a reflection of his weakness, but his strength. His face dazzling like the sun. I appreciate that it's not too discernible, right? Sometimes it's like, well, how do you depict Jesus? That's a pretty tricky thing to do. And this artist was pretty clever about it. It's like, well, I just won't, you know? I'll just put his face as the sun, avoid the whole problem. Pretty clever thing. But the reason we have this piece of art for today, the faithful and true witness, The Rider on the White Horse, is because it's here in this passage, in this depiction of Jesus in Scripture, which we'll see in a little bit, where Jesus is given this title. I was thinking about that this week as I was looking at the lesson for today. There are a lot of titles for Jesus in Scripture, a ton of titles. Names are important, and Jesus has plenty of names. There's a lot of very interesting ones. There's Jesus, right? Or it's the same thing in the original language as Joshua, right? Same thing. Yeshua, we might think of it. It means the Lord saves, right? What a good name for the Savior of the world. The Lord saves. Jesus. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One, right? The Son of David. In 1 John 2, John calls him the Advocate. Or in Isaiah 53, he's called the Man of Sorrows. Or the Lamb of God, right? He's called the branch of Yahweh in Isaiah 4, the chief shepherd in 1 Peter 5. All these different titles that tell us different things about Jesus. The list could go on. It's a long list. But today, we're going to be focusing on a particular title for Jesus, the faithful and true witness. The faithful and true witness. This title is found three different places, all within one book of the Bible. It's all in Revelation, a peculiar title for a peculiar book. It's found in three places. I'll have the scriptures up on the screen. In Revelation chapter 1, at the very beginning of John's vision, he sees Jesus glorified and exalted. And he's given this title. In Revelation 1, it says, "Grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, from the seven spirits of God who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of earth." This is one of the very first titles that Jesus is given in the whole book of Revelation. It's the faithful witness. Okay? That's Revelation chapter 1. This pops up again in chapter 3. And in chapters 2 and 3, that's where you have the letters to the seven churches. And at the beginning of each of those letters, like they often did in these times, they would say, this person writing to this person. And Jesus is the one penning all of these letters. And so he has a different title at the beginning of each of the seven letters. It's a really fun thing to look at if you're interested. And it's in chapter 3 where this title pops up again to the church at Laodicea. It's from the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. That's how Jesus identifies himself here in chapter 3, the faithful and true witness. And then last one, Revelation 19. It's where we got our artwork for today. It says, I saw in heaven, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called faithful and true. And in righteousness he judges and wages war. His eyes are a flame of fire, and on his head are many diadems. We saw that in the painting. He has a name written on him which no one knows except himself. He's clothed with a robe dipped in blood. His name is called the Word of God. And so we have chapter 1, 3, or 19. All these places refer to this title, the faithful and true witness. The witness, right? And as we think about Jesus, there's a lot of things we might think about. And this is one that's particular that the Holy Spirit says, people need to know this one. Of all the things to know about Jesus, this is one people need to know forever. I'm going to write this one down. And he writes it down three times. It's like, well, you better pay attention to it if it's written down more than once. And so what does it mean for Jesus to be a witness? What comes to your mind when you think about a witness? There's a few things. Maybe you think of like a crime or like some kind of car accident. That's maybe the most we use the word witness today, where it's like you're an eyewitness to something that happened. And what that means is that you know what happened because you saw it for yourself. It's like firsthand knowledge, right? You didn't just hear about it from someone else. You saw it for yourself, so you know, right? And so maybe you've been to court or traffic court. It's like, yeah, I saw what happened. I can tell you who is at fault, right? And so you're like, you're a witness, right? There's something about knowing it because you've seen it for yourself. And language is funny because we use the word witness to talk about things like car accidents and crimes, but we also use the word witness to talk about good things. You know, we might say, I was there to witness the birth of my son. Very different kind of witness, right? But it's the same sort of thing. You saw it for yourself. Like, you know about it because you were there, right? That's the idea of being a witness. And it's here that the Bible says, you know, three different times, Jesus is the faithful and true witness. So it's like, well, what is he a witness of? What is it that he has seen firsthand that he tells people about, that he testifies about? We might use that word in a similar way. Jesus tells us himself, thankfully. We don't have to guess and try and pinpoint it. He says in his own words. In fact, in the Gospel of John, we'll be starting in John 8, if you want to turn your Bibles there. John chapter 8 is where we'll start. Jesus is very concerned, and John is careful to write it down, who he is that he's speaking for, and how this idea of being a witness plays out. He doesn't use the word witness in John, but over and over he'll talk about why he says the things he says, or why he does the things he does. And it's all centered around this idea of being a witness. The first passage here is in John chapter 8 and around verse 28. Jesus says, when you've lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing on my own authority, but I speak just as the Father taught me. And he who sent me is with me. He has not left me alone, for I always do the things that are pleasing to him. Jesus, as he's talking about God the Father, as he's talking about God, he says, I say the things that he's taught me. I do the works, right, that he has given me to do, the things that are pleasing to him. That's what I do. So what is Jesus a witness of? He's a witness of God. He says, I've seen God. I speak his words. I do his actions. Like, I am showing God to you with myself. In word and in deed, he says. And this is a careful thing, because we might read this and say, well, yeah, of course. Like, obviously, you're Jesus. That's what you do, right? But for people who've heard him for the first time, this is an important thing to say. Because he's not just saying, I'm just another teacher teaching you about the law of Moses. You know, I'm not just another preacher who circuits around telling you good things to do or to say. He says, no. I am showing you God himself. I'm speaking God's words. I'm doing his actions. Look at me, I'm a witness of him. I've seen him myself, and I'm showing you. He says this not just once, but over and over and over. He repeats this idea in chapter 12. In John chapter 12, turn over a few pages, Verse 48, he says, "The one who rejects me and does not receive my words has a judge. The word that I've spoken will judge him on that last day. For I've not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has himself given me a commandment, what to say and what to speak. And I know that his commandment is eternal life. What I say, therefore, I say as the Father has told me." This is the same idea. And as you read through John, when you're looking for this, it's over and over and over. It's like he's very, very careful to say, I'm not just making things up here, right? I'm not just saying whatever I think is good. I'm telling you what the Father has said. He's a witness to the Father. He repeats it again in John chapter 14 as he's talking to his disciples. He says, "Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works." The Father in me does his works, he says. We have that idea again. It's not just the things he says, but it's the things he does, right? That Jesus is a witness of God. And it's here that we need to pause, and we need to be very grateful. Think about the good news it is that Jesus is a witness to God for us, that he shows us who God is. Because we need to be careful that we don't get entitled or that we don't think in an entitled way. You know, we need to be very careful that we don't take what we have for granted. Because God could have very well said, and rightly so, "I want nothing to do with humanity." He made a good world that was perfect and beautiful. There was nothing wrong with it, right? He says over and over in the creation, in Genesis 1, he says, "It's good, it's good, it's good, it's good, it's very good." And who is it that's brought death into the world of the creator of life? Who is it that's made this huge distance, who's disappointed and disobeyed the King of Kings? Who's done that? That's me. That's you. That's humanity, right? And God could have rightly said, "I want nothing to do with these people. They've ruined what I have made. I don't want to talk to them. I don't want to look at them. I don't want to think of them." He could have done that, rightly so. He can do whatever he wants. He's God. And it would have been justified, right? I mean, who's the guilty party between the two? But he hasn't. He hasn't ignored us. Or like we read today, just in John, he says, I'm not leaving you abandoned. I'm not going to leave you on your own. God has made an effort to make himself known to us. We are not estranged like some distant family. He says, "Let me show you who I am. Let me tell you about the good news." And God has not just revealed himself in anger and in judgment, but in peacemaking, in joy, in good news. He says, "I've not just come to tell you how wrong you are and destroy you for it. I've come to tell you that I'm here to save you. I'm here to reconcile you and make things right." There is good news in Jesus being a witness. Jesus himself and his actions and his deeds, it's a sign of God's love for us, that he has gone out of his way to find the ones who are lost. We are the sheep that have wandered off, and he has come to find us. Good news it is that Jesus is a witness to God. He has shown us the Father. And remember, as we read in Revelation, that there's two adjectives. We're going to do a little bit of grammar today. I know you woke up this morning on a Sunday and thought, "I really hope we talk about grammar." Well, good news. This part's for you. There's two adjectives in Revelation he talks about. The faithful and true witness. It's not just that he's a witness. He's faithful and he's true. And so what does that tell us about how Jesus is a witness? He's faithful. He's consistent, right? That there's never a time when he's off. It's like, "Well, I'm going to be a witness now, but then I'm going to do my own thing. I'm going to turn it off for a while." Or that some of the things he says are right on it, and sometimes he's not. It's like, no, he's always a witness. Everything he says, everything he does reveals something to us about God. The good news that he shares, the way that he treats people, it's always showing us something about God. He's faithful, he's consistent. And he's true. He's accurate, right? He's precise. The things that he says are actually what happened. It's like an eyewitness, right? He saw it for himself. He knows. It's accurate. Jesus is the faithful and the true witness. And thanks be to God, for he has shown himself to us. And that's not the end of the story. As happy as we might be about this, it starts to turn itself. Staying in the book of John, consistency is great. In John chapter 17, if you turn your Bible there, John chapter 17, Jesus is praying right before he's betrayed. He's in the garden. He's praying to God, and he's praying for his disciples. And he says this in his prayer. John 17 and verse 7, he says, "Now they," that's the disciples, "they know that everything that you have given me is from you, for you have given them the words that you gave me, and they have received them and have come to know the truth that I came from you. They have believed that you sent me." It's a little tricky, but did you follow what he said? He says, they know that everything that I have is from you. The words that I have are from God. And he says, I've given them to them. I've got it very faintly highlighted. You probably can't see it. I really need to work on my highlighting colors. But he says, I've given them to them, right? The words that you gave me, I've passed on. And there's this idea, as John records Jesus praying in the garden, that there's this passing of the torch, right? He says, God, you've given me your words to speak. I've been a faithful witness. I've told the people the truth about you. I've shown it in my actions. He says, as I'm about to leave this earth, I'm passing that on. The words that you gave me, I'm giving to the disciples. That there's something about this that's being passed on to them now. It's their obligation. It's their job now. And specifically this morning, as we think about being a witness, that's what's being passed on. And you might be reading this and thinking, yeah, well, maybe. Let's look at another passage that's much more blunt and actually, in a way, much sharper. In Matthew chapter 10, Jesus talks about this passing on of the torch, and specifically of being a witness. And he's very upfront about it. In Matthew chapter 10, verses 32 and 33, this is our memory verse for the week, or maybe forever. This is a memory verse for forever. Write this one down for sure. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 32. He says, "So everyone who confesses me before men, I also will confess before my Father who's in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny before my Father who's in heaven." Again, just like Jesus praying, this is specifically about the 12 apostles. At the beginning of this chapter, he calls the 12 apostles and he sends them out to teach the gospel. And so, like, especially this applies to them. But you don't get off that easy. This is for everyone. For all who would follow Jesus, this is what Jesus says. And there's such a tension here, right? It's so bittersweet in a way. Because you read the first part, and it's like this beautiful promise that Jesus makes. Can you imagine this? Really sit with this and think about this. If you confess me before men, or your Bible might say, if you acknowledge me before men, I will acknowledge you before my Father. Can you imagine that? On the last day, on that final judgment, when you, lowly and simple as you are before the King of all creation, and Jesus says, this one's ours. I know him. He has been faithful. She has been true. God, this one's ours. Can you imagine Jesus vouching for you to God? That's what he says he'll do, and he means it. It's like, that's like life-changing, right? But then he follows it up on the other side. It's like, if you deny me before men, I will deny you before my Father. That Jesus will say, no, they're not one of ours, right? They have not been faithful to us. I have spread the good news of you, Father, and they have not. They have denied us. It's one or the other, right? And that's like this frustrating thing about the gospel. There's no gray area. There's no middle ground. There's no safe, neutral party like we might want, right? You're all in or you're all out. You confess him or you deny him. There's no middle point. It's like, well, can I just say nothing? It's like, no, that's not an option, right? It's one or the other. This is a passage to remember. This is one that'll shape your life if you let it. It'll shape your life if you ignore it. If you confess me, I will confess you. If you deny me, I'll deny you. And so this idea of being a witness, that Jesus is faithful and true, that he's shown God in his words and his actions. He says, now it's your turn. Now it's your turn to do that. Are you going to be a witness of what you've seen and what you've heard? Will you be faithful and true like Jesus has? And that's the question, right? And that's the lesson for us. This is a word that I think other faith traditions, if that's like a term I can use, this is one that they'll use a lot. Maybe you'll hear it as like a verb, like, I witnessed to someone today. We don't usually talk like that sometimes. Maybe you do. I don't know. But I think it's a valuable way to think about this. It's something that Jesus has talked about with. And if there's a way that I can be more like Jesus, like, count me in, right? Let me be a witness if Jesus is a witness. And so I just have some simple questions for you that you need to answer because you know yourself better than I do. And sit with this and think about this. If we're going to be witnesses, and there it is, we are witnesses. There's your answer. If we're going to be witnesses, are you faithful? Are you true? Do you think about this idea of representing God to people? Are you faithful in it? Remember when we talked about Jesus being a faithful witness, we talked about him being consistent, that everything he does are the words of the Father. Every work that he does is a good work of God, right? Are you faithful as a witness? Or do you have like an off and an on? Do you have like a Christian face and then like a world face? How is it that you talk to people in this room versus like at work? Because maybe when you're with people in this room or here like at a church building where it's like, you know, Christian, you know, wave the flag or whatever. Maybe if something you're talking about something good that's happened in your life, you'll say, yeah, I'm very blessed, right? You're like attributing that to God, that God's given me a good thing. You know, we're very blessed with whatever. Maybe you say that here, but when you're at work, you're more likely to say something like, yeah, I'm really lucky, or I'm really fortunate. You know, it's like, well, what's the difference here? Are you going to tell people that the reason I have what I have is because of God? Or are you going to shy away from that for some reason? How is it that you talk? Or how is it that you pray? This is one that really makes me uncomfortable because I find myself here all the time. How do you pray when you're by yourself or when you're with your family? Like when you're sitting at your dining room table and you know, I don't know what you do. Maybe what I grew up doing is one of us would pray and we'd pray out loud, right? Our whole family, maybe we'd hold hands, you know, something like that. Do you do that when you're by yourself? And then how do you pray when you're out in public? When you're at a restaurant, have you ever had that experience where someone's going to pray at the restaurant and you can't really hear them at all because the music's loud, but also they're not talking very loud. They kind of like whisper the prayer, like as if it's a secret. Or if you're ever on an airplane, do you ever pray on an airplane and you just do it in your head because you don't want to say it out loud? Why is that? Are you afraid of what would happen if someone asked you what you're doing or why you're praying? Because there is an opportunity to show people the goodness of God, to show them that you're grateful to God, and you're hiding it, and I'm hiding it. Why do you do that? Are you a faithful witness? Are you a witness to people who already know Jesus and are scared to show the good news, scared to show your gratitude for him? How do you talk? How do you pray? And are you a true witness? Jesus is the faithful and the true. Are you willing to talk to people about the truth? Are you careful to look at what you're saying and make sure that what you're saying is right from the scripture? Are you willing to say, there are things in this world that are right and there are things in this world that are wrong? Or as Jesus says, no one comes to the Father but through me. It's not a popular message, but it's what the world needs. It's what Jesus says. And if Jesus says it, we better be finding ourselves saying it. Are we faithful and true witnesses? Or as we looked at in John, are we witnesses in word and in deed? Is it just talk, or do we follow it up? So here's the challenge. Ideally, this is like a lifelong change, right? And I realize it's like, that's a difficult thing to do. It's like, from here on out, my whole life's different. It's like, that's a big task. So let's start small. Let's start for this week. In your words, tell someone about Jesus. Be a witness this week. And it doesn't have to be this huge, you know, sermon thing. I think sometimes I get in my head and it's like, well, there's all these questions they could ask, and you know, what are the right answers to that? And what are the wise answers to that? How do I say this tactfully? It's like, you don't have to write up this whole evidences thing and have this whole like speech prepared. What if you just told someone who needed to hear it this week, hey, Jesus saves. Jesus changed my life. And it's on my heart, it's important to me. I think you need to know this. It's like, why are you having, like, you're in a good mood, why are you having such a good day? Talking to someone at the grocery store, or a friend at work. It's like, God's blessed me a lot. I'm very blessed by God. Just say something simple like that. It doesn't, you know, you don't have to come to someone and say, let me convert you. You know, here's like my outline. You don't have to have something huge prepared, but you need to be a witness. You need to tell people about Jesus. And not just people who already know about him, right? Call someone this week who does not know the goodness of God and tell them about it. It does not need to be complicated, but it needs to happen. Confess him in your words. Remember what Jesus has said. If you confess me before men, I'll confess you before my Father. I want to hear those words. I desperately want Jesus to say, this one's mine. This one's mine. Are you willing to say that? In word and in deed, do something this week that reflects God's actions. Go out of your way to serve someone where it's like it's way out of your lane, because that's what Jesus does over and over. It's like the story of the Good Samaritan, right? He gives up his entire day to serve some stranger. Do that. Forgive someone that you have bad blood with. We talked about that. Eric gave a great talk before the Lord's Supper about the forgiveness of God, right? Forgive someone that you're not on speaking terms with. And when they say, why in the world are you calling me now? Why are you talking to me about this now? Acknowledge God in that. Sometimes we do this thing as Christians, and I find myself doing it all the time, where you do something that Christ has taught you, right? You're following his commands in generosity or hospitality or kindness or whatever it is. And someone recognizes it. And they're like, wow, I've never had anyone do that to me or say that to me. And then you just say, yeah, well, you know, everyone tries to do their best. And that's, you try to have this humility about it where you could be telling someone about the goodness of God. Where rather than saying, oh, well, you know, we're all trying our best, you could say, you know, Christ taught me that compassion. Like, if you want to know what selfless love is like, let me tell you about Jesus. Like, this is nothing. Let's not shrink back into this fake humility, but rather let us step up and be witnesses in word and in deed, and faithful and true. Tell someone the good news, because the world desperately needs it. Jesus is the faithful witness. He's true. He has shown us the Father, and that's good news. And he's passed on the torch. He says, this is on you now. What will you do with the goodness that I've shown you? It's a big question, and maybe some of this is pointed. I want this lesson to be pointed. I'm hoping the pews are not too comfortable right now. You're maybe, you know, shifting in your seat, but I don't want you to think this is a negative lesson. It's like, you haven't done this, you need to. I want to encourage you and give you the strength to do this. It is not so difficult, and the Father gives us strength. As Jesus says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me. That God will sustain us for the work he's given us. He will be what we need. He will make us able to do his will. So let's be witnesses. Let's be faithful and true in word and in deed. To close out this lesson, we're going to read the passage that was read for the scripture reading by Jason. It's from 2 Timothy 2. It's like a poem or a hymn of some kind, it seems. It's a trustworthy statement. If we've died with him, we will also live with him. If we endure, we will also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. And if we are faithless, he remains faithful, for he cannot deny himself. We are very blessed. We are beyond blessed to have the witness that we have, to know God because of Jesus. Let's share that good news. We cannot keep it to ourselves. As is our habit, we'll close out this sermon with a prayer, and then we'll have our invitation song. If there's anything we can do to help you, if you want to know Christ and you don't, or if you want help in your walk with Christ, that's what we're here for. We're here to lift each other up and help out in any way we can. So during the invitation song or after services, please say something if you need something, and we'll do what we can. So if you would please stand now, we'll have our closing prayer for the sermon, and then we'll go right into our invitation song. Would you please bow? Holy God, we bless your name. We praise you. We fall before your throne. You are holy, and we are so far below. In our weakness and sin, you've sought us out and loved us and brought us near. You fill us with light. We will tell the world of your goodness. We cannot keep silent. May gratitude move us. May compassion lead us until all the world knows your good name. And when we stand before you on that day, may we be found your witnesses. All is in your hands. It's in Jesus, our good King, that we pray. Amen. We'll now have our invitation song.